Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi, Jackie. I'm ready to explore.
Good. I'm so glad, and you're coming in loud and clear tonight.
Great. You
all
too.
Right. Tonight's show, the shadow continues, of course, owning our power in relationships. And tonight we discuss how to own our power in relationships, old and new, and how to create and attract love relationships, my favorite subject.
What is it we're attracting, and how do we get to the crux of it?
Well, let's talk first about our dedication for tonight's show, because I tend to get sidetracked and forget to do this, and I had made a commitment that we're going to do that, especially since we've got, you know, all of those on the other side of the veil participating with us. And tonight's show we want to dedicate to all the people that have lost their homes and animals and belongings in the California fires. And I'd like Ronnie to share a really wonderful story. Day before yesterday when they were very, very bad, I had a client at 3 o'clock, and her son had been told to evacuate and had a home, of course, in the midst. It was coming from every direction towards his particular home. And so the team did something really quite extraordinary. They called in all of the angelic realm, all of the masters, all of the beings on the other side of the veil, including what we would call those of extraterrestrial origin. And they took the client, and together they flew, and of course I was with him, over the fire. They began at the north end and literally went from coast inland back to coast, just sweeping with all of these beings over the entire fire. And they kept saying, "Now listen to the prayers as we fly." And you could hear all of these people praying.
Isn't that amazing?
And it was absolutely such a sacred time and experience. And whenever something like this happens, where it's really quite extraordinary, even though, the experience itself was just, to me, life-changing, exactly 24 hours later, I had a client standing in front of me here at the house, and she was talking about the fires in California and how she had a condo there, and she was on the phone the day prior at 3 o'clock, shortly after 3 o'clock, and while she was on the phone, because she owns a condo there, a friend of hers said the winds just all of a sudden died down, and it was changing everything, and everybody was very excited around this particular person and other people she knew. It literally had just happened while she was actually talking to this woman on the phone.
Wonderful.
And so it was wonderful feedback to me, and the reason I share this story with everyone is, once again, to remind everybody that you can do these things. You can call in those on the other side of the veil who are waiting to assist you. Remember, this is our planet. We're the ones that have to make the choice. They will co-create with us. And it's imperative, since tonight's subject is about owning our power, whether it's in our relationships with all things, you know, is the way I see it, that I encourage everybody to remember that no matter what the situation or the crisis, anywhere, at any time. Okay, so relationships are up for review because all relationships are a reflection of some aspect or belief we hold about ourselves, claimed or unclaimed. And
even our relationship with trauma and drama, because you just talked about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And mm-hmm. And it's also, I mean, that here again, that's our relationship with power in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But our relationship with ourselves, that's a really good one about trauma and drama, yes.
But it takes a certain kind of muscle, doesn't it, to move up and over the dramatic biochemical influence?
It takes choice, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, there is going to be a biochemical influence. There is going to be a reaction to all kinds of things. But we're in a retraining process right now. And so the way that we have responded historically has not worked. It's our job now to respond in a whole new way. And I'm a firm believer that the more information we have, the more armed we are, the more healing work we do, the more able we are to deal with all that's happening right now because it's so accelerated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also in the process, all of us, of redefining and re-identifying, we did a show on that, ourselves. And as a result of that, all the relationships in our lives are going to go through some type of transformation. And, you know, certainly I know you're seeing it in your sessions and I'm seeing it in mine. With the power retrieval, certainly, you know, we seem to see almost an instant response in the relationship of whoever we're doing the session with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening now and what we're seeing come forward now is that we're going back to some of these people and asking them to come in and essentially be a vehicle now to go back through lifetime where these issues have carried forward. We may have played them out, let's say with dad or with mom or brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, you know, lovers, children. But now they're coming in and allowing us to go further through time, if you will, since time is a... these terms, we're going to have to change our whole language. But to go back through life experiences, prior life experiences, and because I've, you know, people are saying to me, wow, this is so different than the first time. And they're tremendously different because what we're seeing now is that we're pulling out the issues, the core issues are coming out of lifetimes, and people are feeling it when we get into the cords that are in the chakras. You know, and they ask people to, as they're taking the cords out, to touch the cord, feel the emotions that are attached to those cords.
Mm.
And what are those emotions? And people are sensing how old they are and ancient, that they're no longer just that issues that they've had with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But they can feel them, you know, physiologically going through their body as ancient and through their essence.
Mm.
So
I still go back to the one that we did with my daughter, my younger daughter.
Yes.
And how I had complained because I'm not flexible enough doing yoga. And whilst we were doing the retrieval, I felt such strange stuff going on in my hips and legs. And as we did it, my body is way more flexible. I know I talked about this last week. But the interesting thing is when we look at legs and that holds issues of support and security and all that, I mean, how ancient is that? And something that we share, and I'm going, wow, it just kind of vibrates way back in time because I know we're old soul connection.
Exactly.
In fact, I finally told her about it, and she chuckled. She really thought it was fascinating.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. But it's also reflective of ancient entwinement through soul.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And of course, anybody out there who does yoga certainly understands that. And, you know, I'm an old yoga person. I'm now back doing yoga out of survival.
Well, we're supposed to be getting younger all the time, so we have to get it moving around here.
Well, that's just the exactly. Well, as my issues surface, I'm finding I have to go back to yoga to move the energy through.
Yeah, keep it moving, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, especially now, and you know, I think Ronnie, you know, as you talked about with your daughter, with each retrieval, and I'll, you know, these bleed over into so many other relationships. I mean, the individual relationship and the mother-daughter relationship or mother-son or, you know.
Or even just thinking about the relationship to how you hold your legs, for example. The underpinnings you have, no matter what relationship, you know, this has changed something in me, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
No matter what relationship I'm talking about, it must have some impact.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does. And, it, you know, again, it has to do also, you know, as I knowing you and your relationship with your daughter, it has so much to do with how you held power with your daughter.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
And or didn't hold it.
Or actually, what's interesting is we've been talking about how those of us who are, in quotes, powerful women often have daughters who resist us because they in turn are powerful and want their own power. But that kind of situation teaches you teaches me how much I inflict my existence in her self-empowerment. And it's like, wow. No wonder our girls or children or anybody really resists our power at times, you know?
Well, and there's two sides to that too, Veronica, is that out of our love for our children, and I don't want to get too far off here, but out of our love for our children, okay, or for anyone that we love, we want to see them succeed. We want to see them be more. And certainly for all of those listening out there, we've all taken on extraordinarily difficult lifetimes, especially this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we've wanted...
Well, transformational, so it takes big leaps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've wanted so much for our children to have a different kind of life. And they are going to, you know, I mean, this has been certainly an issue that I've been dealing with in this last week, as you know, and that's resentment. And not from me, but from others. And where this goes back to, rather than wanting them to be powerful or wanting to hold for them to be in our power and allow them then to find their own. And it's a real tricky road. It's a very tricky road. And I think a lot of people listening probably have children that, you know, whether they're, and of course my two children go to extreme opposites but actually have the same issue, which is about them being in their power comfortably.
And, you know, isn't it something we don't even know where we're impacting them, actually?
Well, our mere presence. And
exactly.
I mean, that was the whole point.
Our mere existence.
That's it. That was the whole point of tonight's show, is that how we hold and own our power in all relationships right now, the importance of us understanding that, and then recognizing that it really begins with how our relationship with ourselves, and then understanding because of that how we impact and interact with other people. And, of course, our children are part of that. And if we are, everybody listening, incredibly powerful beings. And we've all had this conflict about, internal conflict about whether or not we're powerful. Even if we pretend not to be powerful, our children are going to resent us because we're not being powerful.
Right.
And then, conversely, because I have both, they may resent the fact that we are powerful. And, you know, I mean, Ronnie, certainly you live this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's being comfortable with our power and understanding our power and taking responsibility for our power. That.
But maybe it's also about the deep hidden reactiveness so that our power doesn't... defend itself on them energetically at a deep level, you know? Sometimes there's a reaction in having power, like, I am powerful, I am powerful, I am powerful. And that can make other people really unsettled, can't it?
Well, I don't think that we have to, when we're really authentically powerful,
right?
We don't have to hold it that way.
But I don't think we always know where our reactions are yet.
Well, that's part of the healing process. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, I remember my daughter getting angry with me. She was probably 14 years old. And jumping up and down. She was so upset with me, and she said, you're weak, you're weak, you're weak. I'm never going to be like you. And I thought, huh. And at that stage of my life, I had accomplished so much. And I often think back on that she felt I was weak. And
what does it mean to a girl child when we're weak? it's pretty powerful stuff right there, isn't it? Like they feel like then somehow they have to be that way and they have to fight us in order not to be, you know?
Okay, I didn't understand that one.
Well, it seems like if they perceive us as weak, it's scarier to them because then they figure that they'll be weak and they don't want to do that.
No, and I think that it was at that point she decided she was going to be super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And where her perception of me as being weak was, I think, in the fact that I had a relationship with my husband and I had to please he and his family and so on and so forth. And I really had not owned, even though I had done very powerful things, I was not standing in my personal power, not in my total life. I did in business, but I didn't in my total life. That's what she was seeing. But it always stuck with me. But this goes back to our impact. And you know, I'll just kind of get into a, I had a situation this week where I went on a date and I'm sitting with this man who, of course, is Italian, and I was married to an Italian. We were talking about our divorces and so on, or our exes, and, you know, kind of a getting-to-know-you thing. So I told him about my husband and the divorce and so on, and he said, well, you know, can I tell you something? And I said, well, certainly. He says, well, I'm Italian. He says, and I'm going to tell you what was wrong with your marriage. And I was like, what? Excuse me? He said, well, it's very simple. He resented you. And I said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean he resented me? I said, you know, I elevated him and I, you know, he wanted, had a dream and I made sure he had his dream and he had the big office and I sat in the bullpen and I, you know, made certain that he had everything and this and that. And he said, do you think that he didn't know that you were more powerful than he was? And it really sent me reeling. And it was so interesting to me that after all these years, I've been divorced 20 years and I was married 20 years, that I never, now he had told me at the end of the marriage, he said, you never got that you were the power. But, and of course, I've been reflecting on all of this, you know, since last Saturday night, because, or Friday night, because it's been such a powerful aha for me. And it took me off in all kinds of directions, because if my husband resented me, then I had to go back to other relationships, and even to my own children. And I said, well, wait a minute. Why would they resent me? Well, they resent me because I'm powerful. Because I can do whatever I may put up my mind to do. So what does that mean to me? And does that mean that I'm going to be relationshipless for the rest of my life? Because I have created at some level, you know, and of course I did the same thing with my children. You can do anything you want to do and, you know, supporting their dreams. And somehow.
Well, wait a minute, Jackie. It wasn't very long ago you said to me, well, you were probably thinking, if you just love enough, everything will work out. And it doesn't work that way either. And I think there's a relationship between that and what you're talking about. If I do enough and if I love enough, everything is going to be great. But that's not taking into account.
Well, Veronica, I think all people, if some, well, not all people, but many people feel this way. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If they're, and this is a, this comes out of damaged childhood stuff. Damaged children believe that if they just love enough and do enough, that they'll be loved. And I think that's true for most children that came out of, and today I think most people came out of pretty dysfunctional families.
Well, I think the functional family was a myth that.
Yeah, that's true. It was on television, though.
Yeah, right. I wonder what happened to Donna Reed's children.
I don't know. And that one, the first one that came to me was Make Room for Daddy. So between the two of them, I have no idea.
Father knows best.
So you know, where it took me, and it's been a very, very, very interesting process of really reviewing power and the fact that the projections of power, and of course we see these in the power retrievals, Lord, oh Lord, do we see these, where, especially right now, and the ones we're doing right now, with the projections are coming out as well as we go through lifetimes and even in this lifetime. And what I got clear with in my own self is I projected my power onto other people instead of owning my power, and I tried to play the background.
So it's like making them feel powerful enough.
That's right. And what I was doing was, in projecting my power onto them, not owning my own power, wanting them to be powerful, helping them to be powerful, I was helping them beyond their ability to hold the power. They ended up resenting me for it because eventually they self-destructed in one way or another.
You know what's really interesting about that? That brings me to another part, which is, how do we pick our relationships? Like, do we pick someone who's less powerful in order to be able to function at a high level and make ourselves worthwhile? I mean, what is it we're picking from, you know?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and I think that that comes also out of a level of self-esteem and self-value.
Mm-hmm, I think so. Or about making up for stuff that was missing in either other lifetimes or this lifetime.
Well, if you're balanced, and you know, and this is where I look at it from today's perspective. Once you are balanced with your power, and you really do, I mean, as I sat on this state, it was so eye-opening for me because I was the experiencer and the observer. And, you know, this man was feeding back to me a lot of wonderful, valuable information. And I'm thinking, well, this is, you know, I'm going to learn tonight. I'm learning from somebody, and I'm enjoying the heck out of this, sort of.
Wriggling around in your seat, learning. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. And the reason I was is because as I sat there, I thought, well, wait a minute. For the first time in my life, I'm really looking at, because I really have not been actively dating, but for the first time in my life, I'm really looking at men, and I have no need to project anything onto them. I really do own my power. And what he was saying to me was, look, you're, you know, a very powerful, very blah, 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 and you're certainly no shrinking violet, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there, thinking, God, if I could just get small and disappear at the moment, I'd be thrilled. You know, it's not really, you know, but I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, who I am at this point speaks so loudly. Nobody can hear anything else I say. I am who I am. And I don't have the need to project anymore. I can't pretend to be, you know, needy or a damsel in distress. Or because this man was saying he attracted needy women. That's why it was actually very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, gee, if I had met somebody like you, how much better my life would have been. And I'm thinking, yeah, all right. You know. And so it was a paradox for both of us because we were realizing that we had both attracted people that did not fit, you know, for whatever reason, okay. And I didn't want to get into the depth of that one that night. But for whatever reasons, we had attracted the kind of people. And so here we were sitting, you know, at a much later stage of our life. You know, and he said, you know, I don't care if you make more money than I do. That's fine. We would be partners and so on. And of course, this set off bells and whistles in me. You know, all he had to do is say, I don't care if you make more money than I do. And I was like, out of there, you know. Because all these powerful men I've been with, I always ended up supporting them. And which was a perfect indication of projection, where I projected my power, and in order to hold that image up, I then ended up having to become the one to support the whole image. And the paradox to this for me was that I did this not only with men, but I did it with women. And what was even more important to me, because in my review that I've been going through this last week, is that I felt like I was more because I was with. This one just really hit me. I had to sit down when this one came to me. That I felt like I was more because I was with them. No. I'm sorry for that. For all of those of you out there that may be listening, if any of my exes are listening, I apologize.
But what do we know? I mean, you're coming from a place of having to really strive, even as a little kid,
mm-hmm.
right? To be
mm-hmm.
excellent, mm-hmm. to be kept in foster homes or whatever. You know, that gives a person a certain kind of a drive to really achieve, and some people anyway.
Well, I mean, in my own particular situation, I know that when I would be dropped off at some foster home, immediately I would find a way to, I would have to assess the family dynamics and find a way to be of service so that I could earn love instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that service, that need to be of service and to be loved, to earn love, was very strong. You mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
My need to be successful was that my mother, and I found this out later in life, of course, but somebody I was doing some interactive work with someone, and they said, if your mother was sitting here, you know, what would she say to you? And I said, well, she'd say, how successful are you?
Hmm.
So that was one of my drives. And that was one of my drives. And, you know, I mean, if you take my, you know, numerologically.
Was that to please her?
I'm sorry?
Was that to please her?
That was just her whole thing, was everybody was judged by how successful they were. And I wasn't around her that much, but her rejection of me always was, how successful are you?
See, I think that's really interesting, because we're talking about other lives and so on, and people have drives. You're using the word drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of them come from other drives, like driven to be more successful or driven to be promiscuous or something from something left over that we empower ourselves by going after a certain trophy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why it's so critical to identify, and that's why mm-hmm. I think it's so critical to take our power back.
I think you're right.
Had I done a power retrieval with my mother many years ago, obviously, okay, my drives would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
And because I attracted men who wanted to be successful and looked to me and they said, I could be successful if you could only. And that's all I'd had to say. You know, I'm a racehorse. Just put the blinders on, stick me on the track. I'll go for it. You know?
You want to succeed? Call Jackie.
Well, I mean, you know, literally, I knew how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier for me to do it for someone else and not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to do anything for me, but I don't, you know, I don't want to get sidetracked here with just me, you know, unless if it's helpful.
Well, it's sort of relevant because the kind of drives that make us attract certain kinds of people, like our drives do create the attractor in certain ways, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in terms of our children, and I really want to talk about how the changes that we're going through right now, and you know, everyone certainly who, if you've been listening to the shows, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to the old ones in the archives if you haven't, if you're new to the program, has been about reclaiming our power and going into the shadow, you know, working through shame, going into the shadow, and, you know, looking at all the stuff that's sitting in the shadow that we haven't wanted to look at. And certainly for me this week has been looking at, you know, what happened with my children, what happened with my husband and boyfriends. You know, I had a couple of long-term relationships. And of course, it's all about our relationship with us. And we have this fear, and most women today have this fear that if they're powerful, they'll never have a relationship. they'll never find anybody out there that will match them.
Well, I remember part of the syndrome when I was young is, you're smart, but don't let the men know that or you'll never find a husband.
Of course.
Now, we were taught that.
I'm sorry?
We were taught that.
Yes. And my mother was an incredibly powerful woman, way ahead of her time. No question about it. And but our power to be powerful today, and I mean to be powerful in our world, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to make change in this on this planet. That's what we chose to do when we came in here, and we've played out all these little drama traumas, as you said, Ronnie, to learn. I mean, I look at my life as my life review this week. You know, what did I come here to learn? Well, it was all about power.
Hmm.
You know, all the people that I have been with, the proper use of power, the improper use of power, the destructive use of power. You know, I mean, of course, my spiritual path has always been dominant in my life. But along with it was power. The projection of it, the being a victim of it, of the abuse of it, of being around people who were abusive with it. A lot of people who were powerful in the physical world and lost it. Why did they lose it? I mean, just literally person after person after person after person has come into my life that way. And I've done business with some of the most powerful people on the planet. You know, even in my foster homes, I lived with one of the family was the Grand Dame of Beverly Hills, and I lived off and on with her from the time I was 5 until I was 14. So I was constantly exposed to people who were perceived as powerful and trying to understand what is that, how does that work, what's quiet power, what's vociferous power, you know, the person that's, you know, all about themselves and comes into a room and look at me, and the person who comes in quietly and really is powerful, and all of the varieties of that, and what is real power. And real power, I've come to the conclusion, is believing that you are powerful, knowing how to use that power, and believing that you have the authority to use that power in a way that can make change on the planet. And being healed enough so that you don't project it onto others and can take those projections off through the healing process. Because we've got to go back and do it in childhood. Otherwise, we've got big chunks of power sitting there.
So how do we find how do people listening to this show begin to really understand when they're projecting? Or any people, doesn't have to be listening to the show, right?
Right. I would say this is because, boy, I'm an expert at this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you idealize people when you first meet them or compare yourself, you're projecting.
Okay.
You're projecting either out of your childhood, you know, your adolescence, your young adulthood, you know, past lifetimes, whatever. That's the first one.
So if we get into a situation and we realize we're doing that, what do you recommend?
Sit down and journal. Figure out what it is about that person. If we're talking about, what are we talking about, male-female relationship?
I don't think it matters, does it?
No, it really doesn't. You know, and I'll even go to friendship, because I think these are really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The best friends I have are people that absolutely tell it like it is, keep me very grounded, are very funny. And, you know, and I've talked about this before. I have two friends in California. And we love, honor, and respect one another. There are certain areas that, well, I have one friend with certain areas that she doesn't even want to hear about what I do. And it has never been a problem in our relationship. We totally love one another. and accept each other and want the absolute best for one another. And it's very interesting to me because the quality of those relationships, and these are the two friends I have that together we make the perfect woman, you know, because we all are so different. I mean, they're just so damn funny. And, but they're very real. They're real relationships. There are no projections there. They're just honest, real relationships where we accept each other's foibles, we laugh about them, the silly things we do, and we don't judge one another. We accept, and because we all accept ourselves and laugh at our own foibles. It's the healthiest relationships I have. I adore these people. And, you know, I've often said I could walk on water, and they would look at me and, would you get off of there? And, you know,
let's go golfing.
You know, who do you think you are? What are you doing? But we don't do projections with one another. That we know that these are really healthy relationships. And we've had arguments, and we talk them out, and, you know, we love each other, and we apologize, and there's no sting. And once it's done, we move on. That's a real help. I mean, this was a real learning for me very late in life about what real relationships were like. And I've often said, until I can have a relationship with a man like that, I don't want one. And, you know, in terms of attracting relationships today, and I want to talk a little bit more about children and about with the way that things are changing right now. And the planet is moving so cool. You know, we've been saying this for years, but, oh, Lord, it's never been moving like it is right now.
Oh, my, it's fast.
And there are going to be some people that are going to pull out of our lives. They're literally going to disappear from our lives. In fact, I went back and had a session with Dolores Cannon, I don't know, early last year. And I think it was early last year. And as it turned out, the team came through and taught Dolores during the whole thing. You know, this was a very expensive trip for me to help her book. And they talked about how, because she was asking them about how would we move through the ascension process and so on and so forth, and how was it going to look, and what was going to happen to people in our lives. And at the time, you know, it really didn't make a lot of sense to me, even though I had it on tape, and certainly I didn't remember it. I listened to the tape after. What was very interesting, though, is that now I see people falling away from other people's lives, just literally falling out of their lives. And if they're going to go on and continue their own draw, even if you've done a power retrieval, you know, if they're going to continue on and want to choose to continue on with their own dramas, they literally will move away, fall away from your life. They won't be able to stay in your vibration because the vibrations won't match. This is not to make them less. Please don't misunderstand. But if they're still playing out their scripts, they're not going to be able to stay around you. So we're going to have a lot of people moving into and out of our lives right now.
And as they move out, there's no more karma. I mean, we're not adding to that pool of old energy.
No, including children, including parents, relatives, you know, friends, everybody. And, you know, I think that this is a very interesting dynamic.
Well, it's kind of organic, isn't it? It's like you raise your frequency, people can't adhere the same way.
Well, and eventually they won't see you. I mean, that's the truth of where we're going with the ascension process. It's not a forever thing. They will come along, but they're going to come along at their rate, their pace, in their way.
Which could mean we never hook up again, right?
It could. It could. Now, my own experience, for whatever this is worth, and I will share this tonight because it was so profound. I have an exceptional number of people who have crossed over in my life. Really extraordinarily exceptional number of people compared to the average person. And these were very powerful people in my life. And I had an experience. I had an experience the other night where I was with one of these people, and it's somebody I've actually talked about on the show. And we were doing work aboard ship, and we spent some very intimate time. We're not talking sexual here. Please don't misunderstand this. But some really intimate personal time together. And it was so moving. I woke up crying. And and I thought, oh, Lord, don't let this be happening. I'm having a hard enough time on earth finding, you know, somebody I'm compatible with. You know, knowing that it's, you know, I have more compatibility on the other side of the veil makes it even more difficult for me. But it was absolutely stunningly beautiful. And it makes me, this is a precursor of where we're going, is that the people that have left, crossed over, we will be able to have more and more contact with them if we choose. If they're people that we want to have back in our lives, and especially, and this is why I would say, you know, if you have somebody who has crossed over, and they were significant in your life, I would certainly recommend that, you know, you do a power retrieval with them, because I can tell you that that is coming. Those interactions are going to come more and more. And that was what I awakened with, and there was a whole learning process during the night about the gray agenda and what's really going on. It was a really profound night.
Mm.
A really profound night.
Did you wake up energized?
I woke up very emotionally I wake up energized. I don't know that energized would be the word.
Refreshed. How's that?
Shaken.
Hmm.
Emotionally vulnerable.
Hmm.
I will go there. Probably the most vulnerable I've been in a long time, other than when Millie died. But this was really big.
Hmm.
And but it's part of where we're going, and this is why I want to say that it's really important for us to understand now that some of these people, and I'm not saying that everybody's children is going to fall out of their lives. Please don't misunderstand this. This is not where I'm going. But I think it's our relationships with a lot of people are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that no one takes it personally.
Oh, right. That's easy, eh?
Huh?
Oh, that'll be easy.
Right.
Tell me just, Jackie, do you think that we're going to still keep meeting people from other lives where you have a huge drama karma thing to deal with and we have to learn to sort of walk on? I mean, is all of that changing that we will not attract that anymore, or will we still keep doing that for a while?
I don't see us attracting at this stage.
Okay.
Heavy,
well, that would be nice.
Heavy relationships that are going to detract us now from the bigger agenda, which is what we came here to do.
Hmm.
And I see us in a cleanup phase right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think people are coming back in for the power retrievals as volunteers now to allow their relatives, friends, whatever, okay, to be there as a vehicle to allow them to heal even at deeper levels, going into the karmic issues that are have been projected onto them.
To stop with the familial pain of chain of pain. Right?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And there was a session tonight with someone, and or this afternoon, and it was very powerful because what we saw was that through this particular person that we were doing a power retrieval with, it went back through multiple lifetimes of issues And so essentially, as we were in the chakras, the timeline went way back here and pulled forward to the current projection, which was stunning. And if there had been an issue of being disempowered or not being valued or dominance of the masculine, all of those kinds of issues were actually going all the way back to the origin of their inception and pulling forward. Now, we weren't going out into the cosmos. We were staying with physical lifetime in this particular retrieval, although I have had some. I had one a week ago that went all the way back to Lyra. And the person that we were doing the retrieval with, the client, was actually aware there was a something in one of the chakras, and it was so pain. The removal of it was, it was so ancient that there was no way to gauge how ancient it was, and he identified it as Lyra to, I believe it was the first or second experiment, Earth being the third. So this was really old, really old.
But didn't that one have an impact on his loving and his, this is what's interesting to me, is that that impact has gone right through all his lifetimes, either shortening or limiting his unique, intimate connections, right?
All
the way through, all the
all
time.
All the way
not
through.
Not only this life, because he didn't have enough therapy.
That's right.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Right. I mean, that's so intriguing, isn't it? And here we are, these little libraries.
We are libraries. There is no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I'm seeing is that there is no limitation. We started doing retrievals from the abduction experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And personifying the race, whoever, you know, let's assume it's the grace, and actually doing retrievals on the abduction experiences. And they're incredibly powerful. Wow. Wow. So, you know, I had somebody ask today about, could you do a power retrieval with a negative ego? And I had to get off the phone and really go in and ask them, is it possible for us to do that? And they said if the person had gone far enough in their process that they could. They won't throw somebody right into that unless it's time. But, you know, I've had one person who did their relationship with jobs. And immediately afterwards, she got a dream job. She's been struggling and out of work for a long time and got a dream job.
Hmm.
And
so that could have cleared or retrieved her unique non-projected duda around working, right? Around jobs.
Around the jobs that she had had, how unsatisfactory, how unfair, how they hadn't appreciated her. I mean, I could go on and on and on. This is a very courageous person that's been doing this, and she's really dedicated. I mean, her intentions are just pages long, but there's the work she went days writing her intentions. See, this is, you know, where the intentions of the person, if somebody just, you know, says, okay, I wanted to take my power back from my negative ego, well, that's, you know, I mean, if you've really done your homework and really poured into this and really looked at it and you're processing, you know, where does my negative ego really get me? And, you know, you put this all in your intentions and take it back here and here and here, where, you know, now you're really ready to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like somebody, so as far as creating our reality goes, this stuff really helps us leap and bound toward what we, a greater vision.
It's huge, and I've come to the conclusion that people don't come up with these things unless they really want, except I had somebody call and ask if they could take their power back from the collective.
I love that.
I love it, too, and, you know, I'm not altogether sure that that won't come.
But I was thinking, as you spoke about somebody a while back, that we are having a huge impact on the collective just doing it the way we are, right?
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They are so excited about what we're doing, and I say we because it's all of us, what we're doing and the courage, because courage is the watchword here, the courage that everyone has to make these new maps, to step way out of their comfort zone to do this, to be willing to go into, and so they're monitoring them, they're watching what's happening with their emotional bodies, and I mean, you know, the backup, the follow-up to all of this is incredible. And, of course, the goal is we don't want to blow people out. That's not the goal here.
Mm.
I mean, just hitting my issues this week, and Ronnie, you know this, you know, this has been coming, okay? You know, I have this problem with my ribs. And
I think that's such an interesting story, Jackie. But it's so key to the kinds of things. Anyway, you tell it. It's a wonderful story.
Refresh me where I start.
Jackie had an old situation involved with a really deeply entrancing soul relationship that she had to get out of. How's that?
All right.
And in the coming out of it, you got hurt and hurt your ribs, right?
Coming out of this relationship at the very end when I said it's over, it was a very emotional scene. And with this particular person, I was able to hit emotions I could never hit with anyone else because of the type of relationship it was, because it was so, as you say, I'll quote you, Veronica Solula.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked me up over his head. We were hip to hip, and lifted me up, and I'd already had this huge injury. And when he did, literally, he was a very strong, very big man. Because, you know, I'm not. And it separated my ribs. And I had just had 3 days earlier an accident where I had hit my sternum. I had had a catapult fall and literally popped all my ribs anyway, away from the muscle.
Hmm.
So this was one injury on top of another, and I thought I was dead. And so I am in a lot of discomfort right now, although I would say it's probably better than it's been, but it's still very nagging.
And this is like 20 years later, right?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. 20 years later, because all this stuff is coming back up for healing.
And partly because you met somebody and were considering a date, and then boom, up it came again. I think that's but that is so key. I mean, if we realized how our bodies talk to us, like,
thank you, Veronica, for remembering.
And I put it on national television. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it? It's as important as, say, my daughter and my legs and hips and all that. It's more important because it's the nature of relationship as you attract it with your special energy, you know.
Well, the interesting thing, yes, is that this particular man, because he's Italian and on and on and on, it stirred up everything,
mm-hmm.
absolutely everything, including his looks. I mean, you know, it all was kind of rolled. They're sending in, and Veronica was kind enough to point this out to me, a variety of men that seem to be carrying specific energies to trigger all of the stuff that has...
that has prevented you from being the amazing beingness you are in a powerful relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's been, and they've done it in a great way, so I haven't really ended up with any damage doing it, other than right now I'm in a little discomfort.
But I think it's brilliant. I think if we really understood how amazing our little bodies are and all these energies pumping through us for eons and eons of time, wow, if we could decode that, we could really get out of a lot of our projections, couldn't we?
Well, yes, we could. And, you know, again, they have to kind of backdoor me because, you know, I can do so much, but I can't be on the other end of the phone or, you know, with these sessions. And so I whine a lot, believe me, about the fact that I very much would love to be able to be on the other end of these sessions. And so I have to kind of do it a little bit different, but it's done in such a way that I can't possibly miss it. And so when I have to go through discomfort, I've come to a point of quiet acceptance. Well, I won't say quiet, but acceptance. That this is the way I'm going to have to do it in order to get through it. And because at that moment, I literally shut down all relationships when I got that injury. And
so it's like a threshold you have to go through in order to get to
yes,
a new relationship.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're doing it.
Well, yeah.
Excellent. Good work.
I won't even say that I'm kicking and screaming. I'm doing the best I can. But now, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, everybody, and I want to say that you're going to attract different kinds of relationships. And we had an email from someone who said, gee, I had somebody come in from my past, and I haven't seen him in like 20 years, and I'm so excited and I'm nervous. And I want to say to them, you know, because their question was, well, how do I go in and how do I deal with this? And I want to say that it's not surprising. It means that there's some healing that needs to be done around this. And obviously it's coming back into your life so that you can reclaim the power that you've left there, so that you can go into to meeting this person again as a different person, not as the giddy girl you were 20 years ago, but as the powerful spiritual being that you are today. And if they can accept who you are today and you can hold your power in the relationship, it could be something really wonderful, or it may be you may meet them and say, gee, that's just not for me, and be okay with it.
Or it could be a nice completion where you both
absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely, a very nice completion.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Ronnie, we're up at, on the hour, so please give your show.
Okay, I have Radiance by Design and Paradigm Shifters next week. My Paradigm Shifter, this is going to crack you up, is a hair healer.
Oh, I love that.
She cuts hair according to sacred geometry. So tune in next Tuesday at 4 p.m. for Radiance by Design. It's a show about you. It's a call-in show. And at 5 o'clock, Paradigm Shifters here on BBS Radio with Laura Sullivan, the hair healer.
Fabulous, Ronnie. And your website is?
VeronicaEntwistle.com. And it's just being created. It's almost off the press.
Beautiful. And, of course, ours is ethealing.com, and we'll be making an announcement soon for an intensive. I know they're pushing me now, and so I know that's coming, and it's time for a reunion for everybody to get together and meet all your star friends. It'll be quite exciting.
Transcend in community.
That's it. Powerful transcendent community.
You bet.
And I want to say again to everyone, a piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of you is in us. It can be no other way. We love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk next week.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Ronnie. I love you.
Good night. Many blessings. Much love.